After graduating from seminary, God opened the door for my wife and I to move to Dubuque, Iowa. We served there for 13 years. Our three children were born there. Our church grew from about 50 people to around 250 people over 13 years. And in many ways, our church was fairly modern and yet trying to be more and more a place where people experience God, where there is participation, good community. And then in 1992, our family moved with an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 5-year-old to Moscow, Russia. And we began to serve the Lord there in the largest city in Europe. And it was a very changing place. The wall had just fallen, and the society was changing, and it was a difficult time, but it was also a wonderful time where God was doing a new thing. And then our family returned to America, and I now serve with an association, and we serve 200 churches as a team of 15 full and part-time people. And because I travel over 5 states and go to a lot of meetings all over America and some around the world, I've noticed a lot of innovations. And an innovation is a new alternative to solving a problem or seizing an opportunity. That's an innovation. Leadership Network, in one of their publications, gave that good definition. So it's a new alternative to solve a problem or to seize an opportunity. That's what we mean by an innovation. And so I want to share with you 6 innovations that I see as I travel across the landscape of churches, especially in America. And this might not have application all around the world, but I think there are some applications that will be applicable not just in America, but even in other places. The first innovation I see is based on God's heart for children. And we see this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he called a little child and had him stand beside them. And he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. And see to it that you don't look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." Matthew 18, 1 to 5 and verse 10. This is the innovation I see, and that is that after a lead pastor, senior pastor, in a paid position in a church, the next person that is hired, the next person who's paid, the next person who is remunerated for their starting maybe as a volunteer but growing to the place where they also receive a salary, the next paid position is a children's director. Now, when I was a pastor, we hired as our first second person a youth pastor for teenagers. But the problem with that is that teenagers are around for 2 or 3 years and then they're gone, oftentimes, to college or the military, moving to another community. So now what churches are doing more and more is they're saying, we have to have a really effective children's ministry. It's our second most important thing to the church gathered as believers. There must be an effective children's ministry, starting with volunteers and then gradually a part-time person, and then as a church grows, a full-time person. In America, it's true that if a family goes to a church and the children go to the nursery, and it's dirty, and there's no toys there, and it's boring, then the children say, "I don't want to go back to church." But if that nursery is pleasant and the mother feels comfortable leaving her child there, and there's toys to play with and there's activities and there's people who care and they're making it a good experience, then often a little child will lead them and will bring a whole family to church and a whole family will come to know Christ. So this is one of the innovations I see, and I think it's a good innovation, that often the second part-time paid position in a church is a children's director. And we're building churches from the nursery up. A good nursery, a good time for toddlers, a good worship experience for children at their level. Very, very important for a postmodern church and even a modern church. The second innovation I see is this, and listen closely because this is a little bit of a tongue twister, but it's really a new trend, and that is that now the connection to a church is changing from people being expected first to believe and then they can belong. That's more modern. We want you to believe in Christ and then you can belong to us. We want you to believe the Bible and all our doctrines and then you can belong to us. Now that's changing. And now what we're finding is more and more of our churches are saying that first you can belong. Not as a member maybe, but we want you to feel included. We want you to sense that this is a place for you. We want you to have a sense of belonging here. And then people come to believe. And I see this even with Jesus' ministry in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. This is exactly what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. He didn't tell Zacchaeus, now first you have to believe in me as the Messiah. No, what does Jesus do? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, Luke chapter 19, verse 1, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy, and he wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd, and so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, and Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay in your house today. I want to belong to you. I want you to belong to me. So he came down and at once and welcomed him gladly. And all the people saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. He has to believe first before he can belong. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And so we have a church in Michigan, the state of Michigan, and they have a graduate of our seminary, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, where I went. And they have a motto in their church, and this is their motto that's there on the internet, it's there in their bulletin, it's there on a sign in the church, and it says this, a place to belong, a place to believe, a place to become. Because people do have a hunger for community and they want to belong. But sometimes it takes a while for them to believe. So that's one of the innovations that I see. And I see churches, rather than the way we did it, which said that it's kind of a modern church. When I was first a pastor, we'd say, now, if you want to be an usher, you have to be a member of this church. Now I see churches saying, hey, Zach, We know you just started coming to the church. You play the guitar, don't you? Why don't you play in our praise band? And so they have a place to belong. And then they come to believe.
We invite you to participate in the International Bible Teaching and Gospel Sharing Project. Whether these Christian expanded educational opportunities will become available to people around the world depends on all of us. We very much need and appreciate your prayer and financial support. For more information, please visit tvsseminary.com.
There's a third innovation that I see happening. And I see this innovation way back in the Church of Antioch, and we've looked at this a little bit, but in Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it says, in the Church of Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Five people were part of the preaching team, if you will, the teaching team. Five. Now, you remember, it started in Acts 11 that Barnabas came and he saw they needed teaching so badly, he went all the way to Tarsus to get Saul and bring him down to Antioch. And the two of them taught the church and it grew like crazy. And now by Acts 13, there's not just Saul or Paul and Barnabas, there's now five prophets and teachers. One was from Cyrene, which is modern-day Libya, North Africa. One had been brought up in Herod's area in Palestine. One was called Simeon, called Niger. He was probably black. Barnabas was from Cyprus. And Saul was from Tarsus. What's interesting is that here's a five-person preaching team in the city of Antioch, and not one of them were from Antioch. They were from everywhere. And that church that was willing to welcome people and let people belong from anywhere they were from became the church that sent the missionaries, Barnabas and Saul, that reached you and me as Gentiles. Because that church let people belong and they built teams and they multiplied ministry and they didn't just shut everything down. And so there's an innovation I see, and that is moving from one guy in the pulpit. When I came out of seminary, I preached 48 out of 52 sermons a year in our church. And I listened to the lie that my leaders said to me, and they'd said, Rick, people want to hear you. Well, it made me feel good. I thought, wow, yeah, people want to hear me. So I'll preach. I'll wear myself out. I'll burn myself out. I'll preach 48 out of 52 Sundays. I'll only take four times off a year. Well, then when I got to the next church, God made me a little smarter. And so when I became the pastor of Moscow Bible Church, there was a young man who was next to me, and his name was Vitaly Petrov. And we would alternate preaching. And I'd preach 1 week, and then he'd preach 1 week. And then we began to include Vitaly Vlasenko, and he began to preach. And then we included Oleg Lazarenko, and he began to preach. And then we included Adam Richardson, and he began to preach. And then we included Kostya Lysakov, and he began to preach. And we moved from one person in the pulpit to a team like Antioch. And the amazing thing is that for the next 20 years of that church, those people that were part of that original team, as they grew and developed, became the major preaching and teaching people for a church for the next 20 years. So that's one of the innovations that I'm really excited about, is teaching teams rather than one guy in the pulpit.